Why are you smiling like that?
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Make work your favorite. That's your favorite, okay?
Okay.
Work is your new favorite.
Fine.
It's time for the announcement. Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
Santa here? I know him. I know him.
He'll be here to take pictures with all the children.
Yeah!
Just keep your receipts. 10 a.m. tomorrow.
10 a.m. tomorrow.
Santa's coming to town.
Yes.
Can you sign this for me?
Oh, hi. Santa's coming.
Oh man, so fun. Well, hey, Merry Christmas officially. Welcome to Christmas Eve at Crosspoint. Who's excited? Christmas is almost here. You guys excited? Man, so exciting. Well, hey, we're excited you're here with us. Those of you tuning online, it's so good to have you join us from wherever you may be tuning in from, here locally in our state, even our nation or our world. And those of you in the room, always good to see you. My name's Kerr, and for those of you who are here for the first time, we certainly hope it's not your last time. We just consider it an honor that you have chosen to join us for Christmas. We love Christmas around here. And you know, to understand Christmas, you have to kind of understand waiting. And kids, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, but waiting is so hard when you're approaching Christmas, right? I mean, there's so much anticipation. There's so much like hoping and expectation of what's coming my way. And so as kids, we clearly feel this. In fact, if you have kids in your home, we have kids in our home. I mean, it seems like the waiting just does not come to an end. And I think sometimes the degree of that has to do with how much expectation we have, how much maybe anticipation we have of what Christmas is going to bring. And the expectations around Christmas, if we're honest, can be kind of tricky. In fact, this year we probably have certain hopes and dreams of what Christmas is going to be like. And maybe we're thinking back to last Christmas where perhaps we didn't see some of the family members, some of the people that we enjoyed spending the holidays with. And so we just have so much hope around the season, so much anticipation for so many good reasons. We have this desire for wanting it to be a certain way, and we know sometimes it just doesn't live up to that. And so kind of the big idea I want us to think about tonight is this idea of, and you know this, by the way, it's that sometimes what we want isn't exactly what we need. And you know this to be true, and I think in that lies some of the disappointment that we sometimes experience when it comes to Christmas. And I think certainly this was an emotion that those who were at the very first Christmas felt. I mean, there was so much anticipation, so much waiting on that first Christmas. Now, a couple years ago, my wife, Julie, she gave me a gift that I would put in the category of I wasn't expecting this, had no idea, went on my radar. And kids, do you ever remember like seeing your name on a gift under the tree? And it was like the ginormous gift, like the biggest one there. And you're like, oh my gosh, that's for me. You would think as an adult that I would like not have that kind of expectation. But as soon as I saw this like extra large gift underneath the tree, I like my anticipation began to build. I began to get really excited, and listen, my wife and I, we have been married for like a long time, all right? I mean not too long, like it feels like just a day with all the love that we have, so you know, all right? Gotta be careful how I say that. We've been married long enough that like she knows me really, really well. So when I saw this huge gift under the tree, I mean, I just thought, man, this is going to be spectacular. Now, if you would have asked me in that moment, okay, Kurt, what do you hope that it is? I wouldn't have had an answer for you because I wasn't necessarily expecting anything, but as soon as I saw my name on it, I immediately began to think of all the things that I hoped it would be and maybe I was expecting it to be. In fact, I kind of looked at the size and I thought, man, perhaps it's a mini green egg. You know, like I don't want to be so like covetous and envious of like all your extra larges, if you know what I'm talking about. But like just a mini. I mean, it doesn't have to be too big. Just, you know, just enough to, you know, be good. And I was kind of fumbling under the tree, and as you kind of do, bumping into presents, you know, underneath the tree before Christmas, and I bumped into it, I realized, man, this does not have the weight of a mini green egg. So as I bumped into it, I thought, man, maybe it's like a home theater system. That'd be pretty cool, right? And I thought, well, maybe Julie's got a TV waiting, that bigger TV that I've been waiting for, because that's what guys do, ladies. Like, we see the gift, and we think there's always a bigger gift that's behind that, you know, and so, but that wasn't it either. You guys want to know what it was? You want to know what it was? All right, well, here it is. You guys ready? Here we go. Here's the big one right here. It was an air fryer. Now, I know what you are thinking. You're like, Kurt, that is an awesome gift. And you are absolutely right. for someone else. All right. I mean, I didn't even know what to say with this. I mean, it's just one of those things that I'm like, okay, you know, and all cards on the table. I do most of the cooking in our home, so it's understandable that Julie would get me an air fryer. I always heard at Christmas you shouldn't give a gift with a cord, unless for guys it's a power tool. So, you know, she struck out on that one. You know, I cook, but most of my cooking's outdoors. I do most of my cooking on the grill. I grill nearly everything, even desserts at times on the grill. Even this time of year, middle of winter, still grilling, 0 for 2. I'm not really a fan of small appliances, like mini appliances. It's kind of like the bread machines. Anybody remember the bread machines of like the late 90s, early 2000s? Anybody just, yeah, like that dates us, right? You know, is like how many times did you actually use it? Right, like 2 times a year after you got through the first week, right? First week was all filled with bread, and then after that, like you rarely used it, it collected dust, and so, and then on top of that, like our family, we eat organic. We eat very clean, and so healthy oils, anything with fryer in it, I'm like, this is not a good gift. And so like, I'm getting this, and as I'm unwrapping it, I mean, it's one of those things where I'm looking at it, and I'm going, okay, Julie, what were you thinking? I mean, I'm trying to think of this in the best way. How do I say this in the best way possible? But what about this gift says Kurt Walters on it right here, right? Like, I'm trying to figure that out. I just couldn't make sense of it. And so, ironically, 3 years later now, this was given to me 3 years ago, this has become the most used Christmas gift I've ever received in my life, believe it or not. And not only by me, but like all of our family. I mean, I got an SOS call from my kids one day about a year ago, and they're like, Dad, we need you right now. Like, Dad, they kept like texting me. I'm in a meeting, and I'm going out of the meeting. They're like, Dad, we need you. And I'm like, what is wrong? Like, is the house on fire? They're like, Dad, the air fryer won't start. I'm like, oh my gosh. So, I mean, apparently my wife knew exactly what she was doing, even though it wasn't what I was expecting. Now, why do I tell you this? Well, I want you to think about that a bit. I want this to kind of set up this conversation we can have over these next few minutes on Christmas. Because, you know, the people around that first Christmas, as they approached and unwrapped the manger, if you will, I'm pretty confident that a baby was not what they were expecting. In fact, I mean, I think they're just like, man, there's so much waiting, so much hoping, so much anticipation that went into this moment right here. And it's almost like, God, really? Really? Like a baby in a manger? I mean, that's the big one? Like, seriously, that's what you got for us? I mean, it certainly wasn't what they wanted and probably not at all what they expected. I mean, I just don't think a baby in a manger was on their Christmas list. Now, what they probably wanted, perhaps what Mother Mary wanted, perhaps what she hoped or had aspired, you know, her son that she heard was kind of a big deal was going to become, was, but maybe he'd be this mighty warrior, or he'd be this, you know, strong king, this powerful ruler. I mean, perhaps they wanted like something more of the superhero variety. Like we all know superheroes, right? You guys know superheroes? You like superheroes? Anybody see the new Spider-Man movie, No Way Home? Anybody? Yeah, okay, yeah. My daughter, get this, my daughter has seen the movie. I love that she loves Spider-Man. She like cried and, you know, she wants to take us all. I think it's more the Tom Holland that she likes than the Spider-Man, but nonetheless, she goes to Spider-Man. And so what do superheroes do? We know superheroes, right? They swoop in at the last minute. They kind of rid the place of evil. You know, they rescue, you know, the people that are in the burning building. They rescue those that are in the building that's collapsing and come and destroy the enemy and take off the mask and expose, you know, whoever it is behind this. And I mean, they just make everything perfectly good. And then they move on to the next place. And if we're honest, I mean, if you would ask the people at that first Christmas, like, what are you hoping for? I think probably most people would have been like, yeah, what you just described. And we kind of want the superhero variety. I mean, not a baby in a manger, right? A baby in the manger is not on our Christmas list. Now, I would imagine that if you and I were to sit down and have a conversation for many of us, you know, as we think about the last 20 months of our life, even the past year of our lives, you know, this pandemic, none of us have ever been through one before. We're all trying to figure it out. And not just the pandemic, but the social unrest, the political unrest, the frustration that we see and we experience, the anger. Have you noticed how angry people are? People are so, so angry right now. You know, and the loss of loved ones and the isolation and the depression and the even, you know, sense of purposelessness at times. I mean, if we'd sit down, I think you'd say, yeah, a baby in a manger. I mean, this probably wouldn't be on your Christmas list either. And perhaps even Jesus wouldn't even be in that picture. Perhaps you're here this evening because somebody invited you and they said, hey, you ought to come to Christmas Eve with me. And you obliged, or maybe they coerced you, or perhaps you came into town and, you know, you're in for the family gathering and they surprised you and said, hey, we're going to church tonight. And you're like, I don't have any clothes, can't go. And you're like, hey, it's cool, we're a come as you are church. You thought you'd like get out of it, right? Or maybe you came because it's Christmas. You're like, hey, at Christmas, you know, I go and I look for some hope and I hear there's good music, great coffee, and easy exits if you change your mind. I mean, whatever reason brought you into this space, I don't think it's by accident. And it doesn't really matter which end of the spiritual continuum you're on. I mean, if you're on that kind of like, I'm not even sure this whole thing happened or who Jesus is to me, all the way to those of us that have perhaps been following Jesus for years, even decades, I think if we're all honest, we want someone to come and fix our circumstances. We want someone to swoop in, someone to come in and solve our problems, someone in to come in and make us, you know, wealthier than we are. Right? Somebody come in and kind of rescue us from all the relational issues that we deal with, especially this time of year. I mean, all the family gatherings, the things that just seem to escalate. Or perhaps somebody to just kind of make the pandemic disappear. Just like take everything back to normal. But a baby in a manger, really? Huh? I just don't think that's what they're looking for. And perhaps it's not what you and I are looking for. I think you're probably hoping for something a little greater, a little more powerful. Perhaps somebody to kind of swoop in and take care of things in the superhero variety and, you know, get everything in perfect condition and take care of the problems and then swoop on to the next place and leave us to kind of do our thing. I mean, even the three wise men, remember the wise men that brought the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh and like showed us that they really had never been to a baby shower before? Like, really, gifts for a baby? You know, they show up and Matthew tells us about this in his account of the gospel, and he writes about this, and he talks about these wise men. They went to the regional king. They went to King Herod. And when they went to talk to King Herod, he asked them a question. In fact, here was his question. He said, where's the newborn king of the Jews? Like, where is he? I heard there's a new king in the neighborhood. I heard there's somebody that is coming in. And see, even Herod was expecting like something far different than what they actually got. See, what the world wanted was something of the superhero variety. And as I kind of said at the beginning, you know, sometimes what we want isn't exactly what we need. And so while they thought they needed a superhero, what they actually needed was a savior. And I just wonder if the same is true of you and me this Christmas 2021. Now, Matthew, he also tells us about another conversation that the angel had with Joseph, who's going to be the father of Jesus. And this is a young man. He's pledged to be married to Mary, who he's engaged to. So they're not married yet. They're committed to one another. And Joseph finds out that his fiancée's pregnant. And this is kind of like, he's very clueless about this. I mean, not clueless, like, how did these things happen? But, like, how did this happen? Like, I get how it happens, but, like, how did this thing happen? Because, you know, he's trying to make sense of this whole deal. And Matthew actually tells us that he was planning to divorce, or at least contemplating divorcing Mary quietly. And honestly, I don't think anybody would have blamed him. I think everybody would go, yeah, I mean, that seems obvious. She's pregnant. It's not you're not the father, and you're supposed to get married. In fact, it's actually against the law to marry someone who is pregnant outside of the context of marriage. And so, you know, he's just thinking through what his options are, and the angel appears and explains the situation to him. Now, you got to just think about this for a moment. An angel shows up and says, Joseph, all right, I know this is hard to believe, but like, let me just tell you what God's plan is right here. So she, meaning Mary, is going to give birth to a son. And you're going to name him Jesus or Joshua or Yahshua, which is the Hebrew equivalent. Because he's going to save his people from all the bad circumstances that are going on around us. That's not what the angel said. He's going to save, you know, you from all the issues you're dealing with the pandemic and the difficulties and the frustration and the sickness. And, you know, just that we feel like we don't have freedom at times. But that's not what the answer was. The angel said he will save his people from their sins. Now, the question they probably had when they heard this, similar to you and I, is, okay, but why a savior? Like, I mean, God, look at all the things going on down here. I mean, all the things you could have chose to address. Like, this is what you're doing? I mean, it's a mess down here, God. In case you haven't noticed, things are pretty rough down here. Why a savior for our sins? Well, perhaps it's because that's the one thing that you and I can't fix for ourselves. See, even if our circumstances were perfectly right, I mean, there would still be this thing inside of you And you know what the thing is. Like, I don't have to convince you what the thing is. You know what the thing is. It's the thing you get fed up with yourself about. It's the thing inside of you that, like, you get so, so tired of that thing, like, continuing to just drag you down. And you know, you don't call it sin. I mean, you call it something else, which is totally cool. I mean, you might say, well, I mean, I have a lack of self-control. Or, you know, my parents, maybe it was the way I was raised, it's their fault. I mean, we have all these excuses, right? I mean, life's not fair. I mean, if you knew my ex-spouse, I mean, oh my gosh, you'd understand why I do the things I do. I mean, we have all these excuses. I get that. I'm not trying to be critical or anything. It's just that you get fed up with you. Like, there's things inside of you that you're like, I haven't been able to fix this thing. I mean, it's that one area of my life that as much as I try, I can't reconcile it. I can't help myself right here. And see, the story of Christmas is this beautiful story. But see, you only understand the magnitude of it when you begin to understand how the bigger story unfolds. That this baby who was born grew up to be a man, who was perfect and spotless in every way, and yet he did for you and did for me what we couldn't do for ourselves. In fact, he came to pay for you and to pay for me something that you and I couldn't do for ourselves. And so when this angel comes and says, hey, Joseph, here's the promise. All right, that there's one who's coming to you. And there's one who's going to be to you a savior for that area of your life that you just can't fix on your own.
When you try your best but you don't succeed, when you give what you want, not what you need, when you feel so tired but you can't sleep, stuck in a reverse, when the tears come streaming down your face, when you lose something you can't replace, when you love someone but it goes to waste, could it be worse? And I will try. and I will try to fix you.
And the light, think about this, the lights of Christmas will guide you home. The gospel writer John, he actually tells us in his account of the gospel, he says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And that light shines in the darkness, meaning the circumstances, all the things going on around us that we wish were different, we wish we could change, we wish someone would change for us. But he reminds us that even in the midst of that darkness, that the light cannot be overcome. See, this is one of the reasons that we believe Christmas is for everyone. And it doesn't matter where you find yourself this Christmas. I mean, we all get this thing inside of us, right? Like the song said, that we've tried to fix on our own, and we've just not succeeded. And so see, Christmas is the standing invitation from our Heavenly Father. I mean, it's a standing invitation regardless of who you are or how bad you feel that it's got. I mean, it's a standing invitation that at Christmas we're reminded that we have the opportunity to ask the question, hey, could Jesus actually be my Savior? Could that actually happen? See, all of this was made possible because of what took place at that first Christmas. And so I want to read for you the original Christmas story from the book of Luke. I do this each and every year. I just think there's something about us reading the story in its entirety. And, you know, the story is so iconic. I mean, it could almost stand for itself. And so this is written by Luke, who reminds us right at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke that he's thoroughly investigated all these things. He tried to talk to eyewitnesses and put an account together so people later on, like you and I, would know exactly what took place there at the first Christmas. So here's what he writes. He says, in those days, when God decided that it was time, Caesar Augustus, the most powerful man in the world, issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And everyone went to their hometown to register. And so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David. Why? Because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because, as we know, there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And as always the case, they were absolutely terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, because in fact, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. For today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was a great company of heavenly hosts that appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, quick, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. All who heard it were amazed. I mean, it was simply amazing. And I think what's amazing to me is that every time I read this story, I continue to be amazed. Continue to be amazed at how in this season, all over the world, there are men, women, and children just like you and I tonight celebrating Christmas Eve. In over 2,000 different languages, hundreds of countries, thousands of dialects, in some cases celebrating publicly as you and I are right now. In other cases, celebrating quietly or privately, and then for others even in secret for fear of their very lives. But men, women, and children are gathering together to celebrate the birth of this one Jewish baby whom we believe to be the Savior of the world. Wow, think about that. See, Christmas has never been about what we want. It's always been about God bringing us what we need. In the world, I mean, the world was looking for a superhero. But see, Jesus came as a Savior who wasn't just going to save us from our circumstances. It was way deeper than that. He said, no, I've come to save you from your sin, to fix things that you can't fix for yourself. And then in spite of your past and in spite of your failures and even in spite of the circumstances that are going on all around you, the angel's like, for unto us has been born a Savior. He's giving us a Savior. A Savior that brings the kind of peace that when you lay your head on your pillow tonight, you can rest peacefully knowing that things may not be good in the world around you, but things are good between you and God. In fact, Heavenly Father, I pray right now for every single person that's watching, every single person that's holding a device in their hands right now, every single person that's listening, every single person in this room with an earshot of my voice, God, I pray that we would experience the mystery and the wonder and the beauty of Christmas. I mean, Christmas is everything to us. Not just because it's a beautiful story, but it's so, so much more than that. It's because you sent a Savior. And honestly, God, you know this, but life can be a mess. And sometimes we create it, and sometimes it's created for us. And so I just pray today that we wouldn't just enjoy the beauty of this season, but we would consider the opportunity to embrace you or even accept you for the very first time as our Savior. Because Christmas really is all about you drawing near to those who have drawn away. And those who have been drawn away by discouragement, despair, hurt, disappointment. And then in spite of where we've been and in spite of what we've done, even in spite of the chaos going on around us, that the hope of Christmas is available to all of us. And for those of us who right now in this moment would choose to receive you and just say, yes, Jesus, I want to know your grace and your peace. I want to know that kind of peace in my life. Father, it begins right there. And so I just pray for any of us that are saying yes right now, that you would receive us as we are receiving you, and that we're going to be able to lay in our bed tonight and know that, again, things are good between you and us. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what you've done for us, that all started on that first Christmas. So collectively, we just want to say thank you. We want to thank you, Jesus, for doing something so out of the ordinary. Caught so many people off guard. It caught us off guard. Still catches us off guard. And so we thank you for being a Savior, and we thank you for the way you